We beseech you to hear us, good Lord. with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose blessed Son was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan, come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations. And as you know the weaknesses of each of us, let each one find you mighty to save. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall taste some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God has given you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs of wonders. He brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruits of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
91, to be read responsibly by Asper. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, he shall say to the Lord, "You are my refuge and my stronghold.
My God, in whom I will trust."
Because you have made the Lord your refuge,
and the Most High your habitation,
there shall be no evil happen to you. For he shall give his angels charge over you,
to keep you in all your ways.
They shall bear you in their hands,
lest you dash your foot against the stone.
You shall tread upon the lion and adder.
You shall trample on the lion and serpent under your feet.
Because he is bound to me in love, therefore I will deliver him.
I will protect him because he knows my name.
He shall call upon me, and I will answer him.
I am with him in trouble. I will rescue him and bring him to honor.
With long life will I satisfy him,
and show him my salvation.
Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The scripture says, "No one who believes in him will be put to shame." For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to
baptism, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
So let us pray. Almighty God, kindle, we pray, in every heart the true love of peace, and guide with your wisdom those who take counsel for the nations of the earth, that in tranquility your dominion may increase until the earth is filled with the knowledge of your love, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
So, let me just give you a little insight into how most clergy sort of prepare a sermon, and that is that they begin usually Monday, reading through the lessons and just sort of letting it simmer for a while, and then by the end of the week, hopefully something has come together. If it doesn't, and I've had this happen before on Saturday night, you're to the panic stage. But that's usually the course. I have to confess to you that this week I was sort of thinking, I want to talk about the temptations of Christ. And then about Thursday I said, you know what, I can't do that. I can't turn my back on what's happening in the world, as if that didn't matter, it didn't exist. And so I want you to think with me as we pray for peace in the world. I want us to think about what's happening in the world, and especially obviously in Ukraine, but all the surrounding countries as well. And this isn't a political sermon. I really don't have that in my bones, but there is a dimension to that that really calls for Christians to respond. And so that's what I'm going to ask you to think about, and then even to suggest some ways that we might do that. First of all, there's a story that I want to share with you, and you're going to see where that story sort of was triggered in my mind as I share it. It comes from my son, who is now 52. Is he 52, Ross? 51. Okay, I was giving him a year. But this story comes when he was 3. He had taken up with, I don't know how this happened, but one of those Pillsbury Doughboy dolls. Yes, about this big, it's white. But this was the woman. And so he called her Miss Puffin. That's just what he called her. And he was quite attached to it. Whenever nighttime came, he wanted to know where Miss Puffin was, because that's how he was going to go to sleep and really feel secure. I'd often sing a song, You Are My Sunshine. And then that combination really, okay, now I can fall asleep. You know how it goes? Well, he had lost track of Miss Buffett over the years. And I certainly wasn't going to track it down. And didn't really think much about it until he was about 9. He went into the hospital for surgery on his tonsils and adenoids. And he, I can remember, because somehow, you know, you have to work it out between the two of you who's going to do what. And I was there when they came to get him for surgery. And he turned to me and he said, you're going with me, right? No, I can't go with you. And there was this momentary panic. You could see it in his face. You know what I mean? And then he was wheeled into surgery. Now, the remarkable thing for me was that after the surgery, and they got me back in his room, and they came and told me it was okay to go and see him at that point, believe it or not, in bed with him was Miss Buffett. I didn't know it was there. I didn't know that, but and it touched me. And you've probably shared those kind of experiences with kids, maybe your kids. And you know that it's a profound privilege that we are given to share with our kids in really important times in their life, and times when you discover something about them that you really didn't know. And the universal thing that was very apparent to me was that that there are times when we cling to something or someone in order to kind of reassure us. It's okay, right? It's going to be all right. And you can trust me, but you can trust that you've got a future. And that you're not going to be alone in whatever you face. Now, that memory was triggered pretty clearly by scenes this week and then last week of children who were refugees. And you know what they are toting along with them, don't you? They're toting their stuffed animal or whatever it is, and it's amazing. They kind of are clinging to it, and yet on the other hand, there's kind of a casualness about it because they're holding on to the hand and maybe dragging the poor creature behind in the dirt. I don't know, but you know what it's about. It is a bit, and when you're facing uncertainty and you're scared, you reach out to something that's going to calm you, that's going to give you that kind of reassurance that it's going to be okay. And that's not true simply for children. Guess what? It's true for us all, whether we care to admit it or not. And the hope is that it'll be more than just a little doll, that we'll discover in relationships, and maybe even our relationship to God, we'll discover that there is a trustworthiness about life that we can cling to, and that will let us know, say, you know, not just up in our heads, but now in our hearts, I'm okay. And life is good. Even though I'm scared, it's going to be okay. Now, as that kind of thing unfolds in life, we're always confronted with the reality that we can't do everything. Isn't that true for you? Can't be everything, can't do everything. And you get so many requests, I know, to deal with some crises in life. And you can't respond all the time. We were blessed last week to hear about God's bathhouse, right? And a wonderful opportunity to let people know that even though they're down and out, God still cares about them. We care about them. And provide a bath, a shower, and some clean underwear. That's pretty neat. And now we're confronted with not something just in our own backyard, but people that we don't know from Adam. We'll never probably meet any of them, but who are clearly, desperately in need of reassurance. Is it going to be okay? And now imagine if you're a child and appealing to your mom and dad, am I going to be okay? Am I going to be safe? And what is tomorrow going to bring for me? Can't do everything, but there are things that really tug at you if you are indeed a Christian and believe that we are connected to each other. In Christ, there is no east or west, in Him, no south or north. But there's one great fellowship of love that binds us together throughout the whole wide earth. That's what we sang. And the question is, do we mean it? And does that have meaning in our everyday lives? So I don't know what you did, but Roz and I, we had been introduced some years ago to World Central Kitchen, which is a group that responds to needs all over the world with almost immediate food, hot food. And the chef, Jose Andres, considers it his mission in life now, having been a very successful restaurant person, chef of some note. He considers it his duty, his calling, to be there as people, as their lives are torn in two. And we said, we want to support that. So we wrote a check for $500. Not bragging about that, I'm just telling you what we did to reach out to those in need. His advice, by the way, is a pretty simple one. He says, don't wait, act. Not a bad word, is it? And the question is, amid all the things that you really are asked to be involved in, and all the ways that you are tugged, because if you can watch a child dragging a baby, a stuffed animal, and you can watch that and it not affect you in some way, you better check your pulse. And we can't do everything, but we can do something. You can't be involved in every situation because you wouldn't even exist if you did. But you can pick some things and say, I want to make a difference in this world. Why? Because I'm a Christian. I bear the name of Christ. I have been marked as Christ's own forever. And that means I can't just turn my back on the world. So whether it's underwear for somebody in need in a shower, or whether it's food for those who are refugees, I'm not talking about Democrat, Republican, none of that stuff. I'm talking about what it means to be a human being and to claim the name of Christ. So, my question to you, and I don't know what it means, and some people at 8:30 said, well, what if we do this? You're going to be the experts on that. But I challenge you to consider the possibility that you're being called to make a difference. You can't change everything, but you can change something. You can't do everything, but you can do something. And what is it that God is calling you to do? Somebody asked me, well, what is the church doing? And I said, well, I remember a sermon not too long ago reminding me, you are the church. I am the church. We are the church. What's the church doing? God will act through you and me. Kind of a scary proposition when you get right down to it. But it is to minister to people who desperately need to know, there are people who care about me. That life is going to be okay, even for me. And how is it that you would respond to that need?